Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Flamingo offers a full range of quality, affordable hair removal products like their award-winning razor and easy-to-use wax kits. Take the quiz at shopflamingo.com/AMR to discover your custom hair removal routine. Subscribe and use code AMR at checkout to save an extra 10% off your first order.
Welcome to another Mother Runner. This is Sarah Bowen-Shea. I'm joined by Katie Sneveis. Hello, Katie.
Hello. How are you? It's been a while.
It has been a while. And we've been kind of, not having all that many business calls. So we haven't talked all that much in general.
I was just thinking, Sarah, when was the last time we saw each other in person? I mean, was it like, it was Hilton Head, right?
It was Hilton Head. It was right before. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Right before the pandemic. Yes.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. It's been a couple hot minutes. Yeah. Yeah. So the big news around these parts is my kids are finally back at school and after school activities are happening. Daphne, my 16-year-old junior in high school, is on the co-ed soccer team, and it's a club sport and it's a really big thing. Do they have, I know your girls are not yet in high school, but do you know if there's like co-ed rec leagues in there in Denver?
Well, it's a good question. I don't know if there are in high school. I mean, certainly where we live in Wash Park, it is full of like volleyball teams all the time at night and on the weekends. But I imagine that's, you know, older college and post-college kids. So no, but I'm very intrigued by this. I think it's such a great idea to mix the genders and then, you know, just get them to meet different people. I think that's brilliant.
It is. And also because it, there's all the studies that show that a vast majority of girls lose interest in playing sports after a certain age, pretty much after they hit puberty. And so, I mean, whatever gets them back to sports, and maybe it's a love of soccer, maybe it's looking for a boyfriend. I'm just saying.
Well, that was my next question. What do you think that impetus is for it? Is it because, I mean, I know she's a soccer player and she likes it, but maybe there's a cute.
Oh, it's boyfriend. It's looking for a boy. I mean, that is her mission this year. Her stated mission.
It's good to set goals at the beginning of school year. I think everyone should.
And so I think I told you already that she informed me the day before school that kids don't date kids at their own high school a lot of the time, because then mom, it's awkward then when they break up. So it's, I'm like, you have 1600 kids at your high school.
There were 120 maybe in my graduating class. So that was awkward. Like when things went, you know, sour between a couple, and then you run into them in the hallway, you run into them at everything, but 1600 kids, I feel like you could get a little lost there. Right.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So she had her, so whatever her impetus is, she's, you know, practicing twice a week, and she had her first game on Saturday, and oh my gosh, it was so nice to be back out on the soccer pitch on the sidelines. And so, and she had an assist on the very first goal that the team made. So
way to go, Daphne. That's amazing. That must, you know, that's such a good confidence boost too, right? What do the uniforms look like? I mean, how do they do that with co-ed? Is it just a t-shirt?
Just a jersey and you know, black shorts or whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was really fun. So now I think we have a game every Saturday. As if I'm playing, I get to spectate a game every Saturday. So I'm just really excited.
It is. And is it a lot of parents that come?
No. Oh, very, not, No, not like okay. back in the olden times. Yeah.
yeah.
No. Okay. Particularly because, you know, a lot of these kids can drive themselves there.
Sure.
So, you know, mom and dad are doing something, you know, yeah. or parents are doing something. So, yeah. Yeah. So you've got something, not, am I right? Not this weekend, but the following weekend?
I do. I have a little something. I am running the Chicago Half Marathon, which I'm really excited about. Yes. You know, as I think, as I know, you know, and a lot of other people on the show know, I used to live in Chicago, my
yeah.
formative years in my 20s there. So much fun. And so my niece, who she just moved there and she started PT school out there. And so, mm-hmm. and she is a runner. She's an athlete. She's a huge soccer player, actually. And she definitely runs, but hasn't done any distance. And we were talking this summer and she's like, I really want to run a half marathon. And I was like, oh, I've got a great idea. How about we find one in Chicago and I'll come out and run it with you. So it is definitely a race that I'm running with her. And then her brother and my nephew, Jack, the three of us are running together. Neither one of them have run a half marathon before. Oh, uh-huh. Their longest distance is a 10K. Okay. However, they're also 20 and 21 and 25. So they're going to kick my booty. But right. the point of this race is really, and then my brother and my sister-in-law are coming out too. So it's really kind of a fun wow. reunion for all of us to hang out and see where she lives. And yeah, I mean, it's just exciting that we get to do a race, in person. So it'll be yeah. fun. I'm excited about it. And my training has been going well. I mean, it's
good.
You know, it's like, not that we want to talk about the weather, but it's been a very hot summer in Denver. I mean, it always is, but I don't know. It just seems like it's a little bit hotter than normal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mm-hmm. just adjusting my times when I do my runs and earlier in the morning than I typically go, but
yeah,
I'm getting it done. So,
and you discovered the delight of goo liquid energy.
Honestly, that saved me. I ran because I didn't use the goo liquid energy on my first longer runs, like, you know, longer than 10 mile runs, but I did it this weekend and it was amazing. I mean, first I just love how easy it is to swallow, you know, and the taste was delicious. You picked out a very mm-hmm. good flavor for me. So that's I appreciate that.
Strawberry banana. Yeah.
Yes, uh-huh. yes, yes. But what I do need is a different freaking, hip pack because it bounced and jiggled the whole time. Ugh. So
the worst.
It really is the worst. Like for you to be out there for a couple of hours and running, with this thing just moving up and down the whole time is annoying. So I'm in the market for a new one for sure.
All right. And I have to ask, which one of our tank tops are you going to sport in the race?
Well, that's a great question. I think I'm going to do my love one because I love the love tank, you know, I love the heart. Yeah. Oh, so
good. Yes. It is. I just talked to the printers this morning. And so we conferred about what the color of the back tag will be.
Yes.
So they are, I think, going to be on the printing press today as we speak.
Perfect. So it'll get here just in time for me to fly out next Saturday.
I was going to say, I think you might know someone in the shipping department who can who can pull one and send it to you.
I have ShopGal's number, so I'll just give her a call.
Right. Well, very exciting. And so that's on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yes. A week from Sunday. Okay. All right.
A week from Sunday. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. So, well, because of that, that is one of the many reasons you're the perfect co-host for this episode, because it is how to stand on a starting line again. And we're talking about the mental piece of it, because it, as we alluded to earlier, it's been so long for a lot of people, it's getting into that mindset. So our guest is Meg Waldron, who is a mental performance coach based in Philadelphia. Meg has an MS in sports psychology and 20 plus years experience coaching and competing. Meg was a standout runner herself, having trained for the Olympic trials. And how's this for bragging rights? Meg was the winner of the Fifth Avenue Mile Open Division at age, which is a huge race in New York City. It's right down Fifth Avenue.
It just happened a couple of days ago.
Oh, look at you knowing that. Mm-hmm. And she was the winner of that open division at age 17 in a smoking fast time of 4:44. That seems a very lucky, auspicious number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Katie and I will be joined by Meg after this brief break. Stay tuned. Here in Portland, I'm still dressing for runs like it's summertime. Shorts and a tank top, sometimes even stripping down to my sports bra when I overheat. So my legs and armpits are very much on display. Call me conventional, so I opt for hair-free in those areas. Thanks to our longtime friends at Flamingo, I now have more options than ever. Flamingo is a body care brand that offers a full range of quality, affordable hair removal products, like their award-winning razor and easy-to-use wax kits. New to their site is a fun quiz asking you a few short questions about your hair removal. Take it at shopflamingo.com/AMR, then Flamingo suggests a custom routine just for you.
also new, a Flamingo subscription. Sign up and everything gets delivered right to your door automatically, including blade refills for less than $2 a cartridge. You can adjust your subscription as you go or cancel anytime, hassle-free. Thanks to the quiz, I got introduced to the magic of a body wax kit. I love a good before and after effect, so the quick flash of pain is worth the smooth results on my pits. And it is indeed minimizing irksome upper arm chafing. Thank you, Flamingo. Ready for a smooth shave or wax? Take the quiz at shopflamingo.com/AMR to discover your custom hair removal routine. And you'll save an extra 10% off your first order when you subscribe using code AMR at checkout. That's shopflamingo.com/AMR, promo code AMR. shopflamingo.com/AMR with promo code AMR.
Well, hello, Meg. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Meg, we'd love to hear a little bit about your athletic background, including why it sounds like you'd no longer run or race, just to kick things off.
Well, I started running at an early age. There was something in the United States called the running boom. And a lot of people were running back then, and I got swept up in it with a lot of young people. So they say you only have like a certain window of time to get all your miles in. And I think I used up that window.
And what is your professional background? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I have my master's in sports psychology. And before that, I was a school teacher and have been a running coach for years. So I kind of get the whole expanse from youth to adult in life experience and athletic experience.
Mm-hmm. How did you make the transition from teacher to going to get your sports psychology degree? That's a great leap. Awesome.
It is. Yeah. Well, you know, as you can imagine, teaching is pretty physically and emotionally demanding. And mm-hmm. I wanted to shift. I thought I'm shifting into my wisdom years, might as well use it. And it just has become a total natural fit. So I still keep my hands in working with kids. I run a youth empowerment running program that starts with second graders. And so I still get my kid fix on, and I get to work with people around the country and of all different ages and sports.
Nice. All right. So before we talk race day, let's roll it back a little and let's address some concerns folks in training might have. For a lot of women, it's been going on 2 years of not being in a race. So what can they do today or this week on training runs that can help prep them for race day?
Well, you know, definitely having a plan is really important. Some sort of schedule that you're following so that you don't have to be thinking every day, what am I going to run? I also like when, you know, because people haven't been racing, make sure that plan includes pace work. I would say in my life experience around running, the biggest mistake runners make, from the most elite runner to the newest runner, is that of pace. So throwing into your training intervals that include the pace that you want to be racing at, so that that kind of gets ingrained into your whole being.
And how about psychologically though, if they come back from a, you know, run that felt really challenging, or that, you know, they just were really drained on it and they just think, oh, I'm not going to be ready on race day. What if I feel this way on race day? Like, I think we can talk ourselves, you know, onto the ledge.
Well, you know, I always, you know, everybody has those doubts, you know, that's part of human nature. We're not robots. So I often just say, if you know yourself well, and you do that, even just acknowledging, oh, that's that thing that I do when I'm doubting myself, sort of takes the oxygen and the power away from that thought. There's another thing I often suggest athletes do is just say, oh, there's that thought, I'm going to dial it down. And so, so they learn to just sort of dial it down and regain their focus on, you know, what they're doing and what their goals are. So just having a couple of little mental tools like that can be really helpful.
Okay. And how do you set realistic expectations for yourself after so long of not racing? For example, I raced in February of 2019, and it was a half marathon. I'm running a half marathon in a week and a half. And, you know, my last half marathon was pretty good, but it's been so long since I've raced. It's just kind of hard to gauge what kind of realistic expectations I can prepare myself for. So how do you do that?
I mean, usually through your training should give you information. Mm-hmm. So if in your training, you are doing things like intervals at certain paces, or you're following mm-hmm. a schedule, that should kind of help you predict what you should be able to run. So having something like that is really useful.
I mean, in terms of setting a number for yourself, so your numbers in training can certainly tell you something, but then there's that, the whole unknown factor of what a race can do for you. How can people remember what that might be? Should they be thinking, oh, well, you know, I trained so I could run a 2:30 half marathon, but boy, I'm going to be so excited. I bet I can run a 2:10. And then I worry that they're going to be, you know, then disappointed when they run a 2:28 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. You definitely always want to set your goals so that they're attainable, realistic, you know, and based on factual information or data from your training. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one way to help manage that from like a sports psychology point of view, that has been an incredibly powerful tool for my clients, is visualization. So not mm-hmm. only are they chunking the race down, for example, a marathon, you might want to break that down into parts like 5, 10, 15, 20, and then the last 5, and then the last mile, which can, of course, feel like another 5 miles. But
yes,
but like, so you visualized the race, you draw from past experience. And when you visualize, you do things like, what do I see? Right. So you're bringing yourself into a real time experience. So you say, I'm on the starting line, the gun goes off. You know, what do I see? I see the colors of different outfits around me. I see banners. I see people on the sides cheering. I see the person in front of me. I see the sky, you know. What do I hear? I hear cheers. I hear shouts. I hear announcements from a megaphone. I hear footsteps. What do I feel? Mm. I feel my breath coming out of my body. So you're actually in your brain starts to think you're actually running. And when I do this with clients, they can actually feel their heartbeat picking up. And so then you do that. And now when you do arrive at the real race, it's familiar. You're like, oh, I've been here before. So you just kind of collapsed the last 2 years by giving yourself this little imagination experience before race day. And then when you're in the race, like you that. Can, yeah. And you can pick, you know, focus words for each chunk of the race. So for the first 5 miles, my focus word or my power phrase is going to be, you know, keep it steady.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that.
Don't go out too fast. Which
right.
Is my
don't go out too fast. Mm-hmm. Relax, you know, ease into it. Super fluid, mm-hmm. you know, whatever that is. And that is your shortcut to the experience you had in the visualization. So if you were to do your visualization, that might take you 10 to 20 minutes resting in your home, sitting and breathing and going through your visualization. But if you come mm-hmm. up with these words, these power phrases, then that's your shortcut to the feeling you had when you visualized. It helps keep you on track.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. I'm also intrigued that you say, I'm definitely all about chunking up a race. I've never heard anyone though suggest that they chunk out specifically the final mile of a marathon. And when you say it, I'm suddenly like, well, that's genius, because mm-hmm. my gosh, that, you know, I could draw you a picture of some of my final miles in a marathon. I spent so much time in them, you know? So I mean, what type of, going back to your focus words or power phrases, I mean, what might be something, I mean, stay strong, lean into it.
Yeah. So,
keep going.
I had a client one time call me. It was the night before cross country nationals for the club teams. And he was really freaking out. Actually, this was all done by text, you know, because he was in his 20s. So why actually have a conversation, right? And the course was 4 big loops. So I had him go through the visualization, which he knew how to do on his own, and then come up with a word for each section of the race, or however he decided he wanted to break it down. And in the middle of the race, for example, he picked the word Pac-Man. So you think of the video game, wah, 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 right? So he's just picking off runners in front of him. And then at the end of the race, he picked hammer time. And that's what, that was like go time.
I love that.
Somebody I work with just raced in the Fifth Avenue mile, and her word was, her phrase at the end was mine, 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 because she just wanted that finish line. And since she's been using that phrase, she has not backed off of any challenge or any workout. So that's how powerful that is.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's great.
And when you,
that's
you know, the other thing too, is when you do the visualization, because that's so personal to each person, you know, right? Hearing and sound and visualizing experience. So the person in the experience of doing the visualization will most likely come up with the words that suit them. Once they've quieted their mind, and then they're like, oh, that's my power phrase.
Okay.
And it sounds like your advice would be, as long as it speaks to you, don't worry about it if other people might deem it silly.
Exactly.
Like, right.
Like Pac-Man.
Right.
Or like
it's very personal. So, yeah.
You don't have to share with anyone.
Right. It can even be a secret. Secret weapon.
Exactly.
Right. So Meg, what do you say to all the introverts listening who've gotten used to running solo? And how can they prep to be around a lot of other runners, not so much from a COVID perspective, but just the idea of being seen and heard by other runners? Because I feel a lot of us have been running under this almost cloak of invisibility because we just haven't been in crowds or in group runs or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that. I have a number of friends who, like, during the pandemic were like, what, stay in my house and read books all day? Thank you. You know,
Yay,
I've been waiting for this my whole life.
Right.
That would be my daughter's dream come true. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think number one, if that's you, honor it. If you are quiet, if you kind of get overwhelmed by a lot of stimulation, if you need to dip your toe back slowly into the waters, honor that, own it. That's you. And the other thing is, like, you know, the visualization, once again, like, visualize yourself in a race where you might be around a lot of people. And for the last couple of years, people have also posed a health threat, right? So we're in like a hypervigilant state and a feeling sometimes that might linger, like a residue that people are a threat to us, to our physical health, right? Mm-hmm. So visualizing, you know, the race, the whole experience, what is right for you, and preparing yourself ahead of time. You would never go out and do a play without learning your lines first. So the same thing is, you rehearse that race in your mind so that there's a familiarity when you toe the line. And then the other thing I would say is, like, you know, if you want to try wearing headphones and you've never done that before, I would encourage you to. It's a great way to kind of block out the world. It's sort of like your invisibility cloak in a race, and kind of maintain your center.
The age-old question that far predates the pandemic, ways to minimize race day jitters during the taper and the night before the race. It's just, it's no matter how many races you've run in your life, this still happens to you. So what are some tips and tricks that we can use to really minimize those?
Yeah, well, so also in the spirit of, like, easing back into it, one way is to say, not go run like Chicago Marathon your first race back, you know, maybe do a local 5K, you know, or a 10K. And then that way you're just being gentle with yourself.
Sure.
And then the other thing is, you know, go in with, this is where, like, self-talk also is important, and expanding on that idea of having some phrases instead of, like, this is going to be really hard, or I'm not sure I can do this, but say, I'm just scratching the surface of, you know, who I can be as a runner in this new era, or this is going to take some time and effort, or let's just see what I can do today. So going into the race with that kind of mindset of curiosity, and being a learner, right? There's my teaching background, being a lifelong learner, helps you as an athlete continue to develop So you continue to keep an open mind, you continue to develop, and then you can broaden and build on your experiences to feel more comfortable with each race you take on.
Yeah, it's interesting. People always say that, you know, a lot of people, particularly who were, you know, trying to qualify for Boston, that sure, there's people who do it the first time out of the gate, but that with each race that they don't do it, they're like, okay, I can take experiences from that. I can learn something that then I can put that in my pocket and pull it out the next time I try it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, there's also, you know, leading up to the race, there's no end to the amount of content you can be streaming to distract yourself in the week leading up, you know, and then also when we have committed to running race, sometimes that has taken up a lot of our time that we might have done enjoying things, other things that we like to do. So, you know, this is a great time leading up to a race to like make time for friends that you haven't been able to do, to spend time with, to, you know, do things that you enjoy as a distraction, as a good, healthy distraction from hyper-focusing on the upcoming race.
Mm-hmm. Right. All those things on your to-do list, you haven't even putting, you know, far, far down while you're training. So tackle some of those right now.
And I have a funny story too, or fun story. I'm making a documentary about women's distance running in the United States, starting with like my story as the seed. Mm-hmm. And one of the people we recently interviewed is Molly Huddle. She's a two-time Olympian.
Yeah,
sure. Awesome.
Yeah. And do you know what she does the night before every race?
No.
She paints her nails. Oh. Yeah, so it's like a theme.
I like that. Yeah.
Sometimes it's a theme that has to do with where she's racing.
Okay.
So nice. Just little things like that are really, really, it makes it more than just about running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how can people boost their self-confidence on race day? I mean, I've gotten so woefully out of practice for amping up my race day swagger. I just think I'm going to show up at a race and like hide in my car or something. I don't know.
Well, first of all, remind yourself that there's probably about 100 other people who want to hide in their car with you. So, so you're not alone, right? Sometimes that feels good. But also just so drawing on past experience and I'm not necessarily saying drawing on past results because those might look different this time. This is like a new normal, maybe, you know? Mm-hmm. So drawing on past experience and saying, all right, what are my strengths? Getting really clear on that. Like, okay, my strength is that I know how to pace myself, or my strength is that if I feel a cramp coming on, I know to walk and breathe it out and I don't give up. So focusing on your, you know, your strengths. I'm good at looking at the person in front of me and closing the gap, you know, and using that. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, what are your, what other, you know, what other reasons you have for being there? So, you know, sometimes people go and they say, oh my gosh, this is going to be too hard. Mm-hmm. But it's so important to reconnect with why you run. Remind yourself, because when I finish, I'm so glad. I feel better about my body. I feel better about my mind. I've hung out with friends. I have something to talk about at the dinner table tonight, you know, like reminding yourself that it's not just about this time or this performance, removing that from, you know, taking that off your plate and reminding you of your why of running. And then getting a cute new outfit never hurts.
I'm with you on that, Coach Meg. I always think that a cute new outfit helps in any situation. That's why I'm excited to wear my Love Run tank.
Ooh, I can't wait to see it.
Continuing on with the topic a little bit, how do you keep enthusiasm and energy high if there are far fewer spectators than you're accustomed to in the before times? I mean, the last time I was in Chicago, I ran the marathon, and one of the beauties of that marathon and a lot of big city marathons is that it just is covered with people. There's maybe a few blocks where there are not spectators, but it just, as we all know, it helps you get through the race. So this is a half, so it's a little different in the sense that it's not as big of a race in Chicago, but also because of COVID, there's obviously not going to be as many people out on the course. So how do you kind of wrap your head around the fact that you may not have the boost from the spectators that you usually are expecting?
Well, you know, a lot of that is actually practiced in your training leading up, because, for example, the classic 3-hour run before a marathon, you know, sometimes it's just alone or with a couple of people and you got to get through it. So that a lot of that can be practiced ahead of time. Some things that I've done in the past, I trained for Olympic trials marathon back in the day, and a lot of my runs were solo, and I would do things like, all right, I'm going to count the next 50 steps. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to relax all the muscles in the back of my body. So I just start shifting awareness. Or I'll say, I'm going to pick up the pace a smidge to that next landmark. So you start kind of playing games to keep yourself engaged and keep yourself feeling like you're still in control. And then another one too is, you know, having a, you know, that soundtrack that really keeps you amped, if that works for you, having music, you know, earbuds, and having that soundtrack that really gets you going. So just playing some games like that.
Those are great tips. I mean, just anything to kind of keep your mind off of what is actually happening in the moment. In my personal experience, I think that's what helps me.
And then, you know, with these GPS watches nowadays, like, they can show you your pace per mile. And so you can play around with that. You know, you can keep an eye on that if it helps you. And that's, I say that because you want to practice all these things in your training before you get to the race to make sure they're going to be for, to your benefit.
Yes, exactly.
So Meg, how do you change your goals mid-race if you're either doing better or doing worse than you anticipated? You know, so kind of having that, having your maybe A, B, and C goals, but being flexible in the race itself to change that up.
I'm actually super glad you asked that, Sarah. You know, so many people think that goals have to be written in stone or pen. And I say, write your goals in pencil, you know, because, you know, we're not robots, we're humans, and things change. You know, we have, I always say strategies are the things that you plan before you race, and the tactics are how you respond to what happens in the race, right? So you might have a strategy to set a personal record in a 5K or a 10K, but then it's like super windy, which is like the enemy of runners, right? So then you have to erase that goal and adjust. And so if you're in a race and you're not performing as well as you hoped you would, that's where you bring in your knowledge and your experience to say, all right, how can I adjust this? Because the heart knows it's working 100%. Whether you set a personal record or you have an off day, the heart is still working 100%. It's going to feel like 100% effort. So, you know, recognize that it's really about your effort and not get so fixed on those results at the end. And, you know, look for, you know, what I say to my athletes, I say, here's your three post-workout or post-race questions. This is how you assess and learn from experience. Okay. You say, number one, you say, what did go well? All right. So I didn't have a great race, or it was windy, or I got a cramp, or my calf was bothering me. What did go well? Oh, all right. Well, I had all my gear. I really liked my new outfit. I had a good start and I had good training leading up. So I know, I still know I'm in good shape. Because I didn't race hard, maybe there's another race I can jump into in a couple weeks, right? Okay. So it becomes a win-win. So you ask yourself, what did go well? You ask yourself, what did I learn? Right? Oh, I need to hydrate more the day before. And then third question is, what do I want to change for next time? Oh, I think I want to go out slower, or I want to train a little bit longer. I think that race came up too soon in my schedule. I realize now I need a couple more weeks of training.
Okay.
And now it's a win-win. Now you're developing as an athlete. And the thing that you love to do that brings you joy, running, is not also being used as the thing to tear you down.
Oh, that's so important
to keep in mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think particularly in these days, there can sometimes be so little that's giving us joy or giving us a sense of fulfillment and accomplishment. And running can be those things, but not when you kind of let it turn and let it be a negative in your life instead. So, all right, going back to the, maybe not the final mile, but the final miles. Do you have some tips, Coach Meg, for digging deep in those final miles, whether it's to keep pushing toward a time goal or not sit down on the curb and wait for the sag wagon and, you know, everything in between?
You know, I go back to that idea of having that mantra, having the power word that keeps you focused. Mm-hmm. I also like the idea also of connecting to your bigger why, you know, why mm-hmm. you're doing this, how mm-hmm. you feel when you've done well. And then also like, maybe you're doing this for, to bring awareness to a cause or to raise money. So, mm-hmm. You know, if that, those kind of motivators work for you, seek them out. And use them to your benefit, particularly in that last mile. Using the Pac-Man, you know, thing, like gobbling people up, or mine, like that time, that personal record is mine. Really, really important. And rehearsing it ahead of time, of course.
Sure. And, you know, kind of elaborating a little bit more, but how to go easy on yourself and take away important lessons if your race doesn't go as you'd hoped. I would imagine it's more so just the takeaways, right? And what you can learn from it.
Yeah. So using those three questions, mm-hmm. but also I say, you know, give yourself like, I call it like the 24-hour rule.
Okay.
Or 48 or 72, if you need more time to feel disappointed and sad. Mm-hmm. So actually feel all the feels, you know, give yourself time to, for the next 24 hours or the next 3 days to just kind of be bummed out about the race.
Okay.
And that's okay. That's part of self-care. Then, you know, do the things you love and enjoy that are your fuel. It's not just running. Running isn't, sometimes running takes water out of the well instead of adding water to the well. But there mm-hmm. are other things like reading a book, going to a movie, hanging out with your best friend, having a glass of wine. So do the things that refill the well. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, have some distractions. Give yourself a day to lie on the sofa and watch, you know, Grace and Frankie.
Mm-hmm. That is a funny show. Love it.
So, and if they have post-race blues, just because, you know, they've had this nice shiny thing to be looking forward to, and now it's over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how soon do you suggest to your athletes that they start planning their next race or setting their next goal for themselves? I mean, what's realistic in terms of a time frame for giving that, and then how to go about doing it?
I'm super glad you asked that question as well, because the part of people's training that they most often forget is their post-competition period. Which I call the transition period. Huh. So you have like prep, you have competing. People forget about the transition. So you're transitioning to the next phase of your training or the next mm-hmm. step, whatever that is. So having something in place, like a plan A and a plan B, plan A if your race goes well, plan B if your race doesn't go well, that you get to follow, and you don't have to think, oh, I'm so wiped out, tired, disappointed, sad. I don't want to have to think about what I have to run. You'd look at your schedule and it says, oh, wow. It says, go for an easy 3-mile jog on grass today. I can do that. Mm-hmm. Also then, you know, having something to look forward to. So in that plan B, if your race doesn't go well, you can say, oh, wow, there's this other race coming up in 3 weeks. I mm-hmm. think I'm going to try that out. And of course, that'll be different depending on the length of the race you just did. So for a marathon, you might want 6 weeks or more.
Sure.
but yeah, so just having that other thing to look forward to so you can, I often call it shining the flashlight. So shining the flashlight back on something that you can look forward to, some goals that fill the well again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nice. So many good nuggets of information that I'm that yeah. I wrote down during this.
good. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure talking with you, Meg. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I really appreciate this conversation and the opportunity to share with everyone. I mean, the reason why I do what I do now in the world is to offer the support that wasn't there for me when I was a runner. Mm-hmm. And it feels like, feels really satisfying. And doing this podcast is a nice part of that. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Take care.
All right, Katie, you got your notes. You got your takeaways for yes. Chicago.
I really Sunday. Do. That was great. Thank you.
Good. Yes. Good deal. All right. Well, our podcast today was produced in Portland, Oregon by Alex Ward from Sounds Like Pictures. Many happy miles.